Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you hear the voice, you know what time it is. It is the Game Dev Unchained podcast. I'm your host, Larry Charles, with your co-host, the only person in NBA history to dunk with no hands, Mr. Brandon Pham.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this week's episode. This is Brandon Pham. Please welcome our special guest, Nelson Plume.
Yeah, man. That's right. Yeah. You got it right.
Game over for me. I'm going out with Kobe.
Welcome, Nelson. How's it going, man?
It goes good, dude. Like I was telling you, just came out from work. Had to make it here in time. I promised you I would be here at 10, but obviously duty calls and had to stay a little later. But here we are.
Oh, it's all good, man. Glad to have you. This is a very, very special episode because everyone on the podcast right now is somewhat of a gym rat. I love going to the gym. Brandon loves going to the gym. And I know every single time you go to the gym, Nelson. So I know you're a gym rat.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about staying fit in the game industry as a game developer, because we brush over this a lot, right? We'll talk about crunch and the crunch food options and just the hours that you're working and how ergonomically the chair and desk thing just doesn't work for your body, you know, for years on end. And when you add on top of that the long hours, it can be a very daunting task to actually try to stay in somewhat decent shape, you know, and let alone staying in good shape, just be healthy, you know. So I couldn't think of any other person to bring on the podcast to talk about these types of issues with the audience than Nelson. Nelson, I know you're huge into the weights. You're in the gym and you eat right. You stay healthy. What do you got for us today, man? Is this what's the secret? That's my first question. What is the secret? How do I get your body?
Well, I guess the secret is to start doing it. You know, that's the problem that separates people from achieving anything. The people sit around, they talk about doing it. New Year resolutions, they never actually get done. Every year is the same stuff. So I think for me, actually, I'm going to tell you something. You're going to be probably pleasantly surprised.
Okay.
About 8 years, maybe 9 years ago, I was working at Obsidian Entertainment. Mm-hmm. We were working on a title called
Alpha Protocol?
Alien Crucible.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. I was on that with you.
Yeah,
you
were in that one. Okay, so this is what happened, right? I barely got to know you at that time. And I remember walking to the top floor, and I was walking to this office, and there was a bunch of bottles of things. And I was like, what is that? It was creatine. There was glutamine. And I was just like, whoa, what's up with this stuff, right? So I'm like, and I understand that at this time, I was not working out.
Okay.
I was just kind of like, I like the idea, but I had no idea how to get to it. And I was just looking at all these bottles, and I took a picture of your desk, and I went to the internet. I was like, what does this gluten mean? What is this stuff? So even though you're saying, asking me stuff, man, some of the stuff that I do these days, actually, you were one of the ones that just started, put in the seed. So there you go.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so I left that as a secret until now.
Wow, that actually, you know, that's pretty awesome, man. That's really cool.
So, yeah, man, you know, little by little, you start doing the research. And, you know, the business that we're in, it's just busy, you know, the hours that we put in. There's a lot of tempting food that they get you on the plate, so you can, I guess, stay longer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I come from a family that have some struggles with my parents, like staying healthy and stuff like that. And I just see the trajectory, man. If you don't have to change it, it's going to be you that someday struggling with the same. So I figure, you know, let's start early. And about, like, you know, 8 or 10 years ago, I started kind of regularly visiting the gym and getting a little more excited about it. Mm-hmm. And now it's just like, I got to do it. It's not even part of, like, I remember to go. It's just, I just go, right?
Habit, yeah.
It's just pretty much habit. And the days that I can't go, I still get that itch of, like it's almost like I didn't take a shower, or it's almost like I didn't eat, or it's almost like I didn't, like, wash my laundry. It's just, I get that conscious when I don't go.
Yeah, man.
So it's crazy.
Sounds like a game developer you're describing right there.
Yeah, right? Exactly, man.
Dude, it's religion. When you get to a certain point, you know, it's just like, it's like church. Like, you know, when you go to, anyone who listens to this podcast who knows what it's like growing up in church, you know, you see those same people that have different positions in the church, you know, like you go into the gym and it's kind of like, this is your fellowship. You know what I mean? Everyone in there that is a regular is like a deacon, you know. It's like, oh, there's Deacon Plumey, there's Deacon Fam, Deacon Larry.
There's Deacon playing on the cell phone, there's Deacon hanging out on the plates.
Deacon playing on the cell phone.
There's so kinds of different characters.
Oh man, good times. But yeah, so let's take it back to like the beginning, right? You said you kind of were inspired just because you were curious. What was it like kind of being the newcomer in the gym? There's a lot of people who don't go to the gym just because they're afraid of being the new person in the gym, right? They know they're the smallest, or they know that they're, you know, they don't have the friends, or they probably don't know all the exercises. So I think a lot of people just have the mindset where they're scared to just go in. Do you have any words of advice for people like that?
Well, I mean, putting myself as an example, when I started, I wasn't really like afraid of stuff like that. I just knew that I wanted to check it out. And obviously, depending on the gym that you go, if you start going to these more casual gyms, you're obviously going to get people that are a little more casual about it. So it's a little less intimidating than if, let's say, you go to the Gold's Gym and everybody's over there all pumped and knowing what they're doing. So you go to those type of gyms and it's a little more inviting, right? Then you start getting to a level where, like, okay, now these people are kind of like not doing what you expect them to do, and now you're kind of above. And I'm not trying to say I'm above of them. I'm just saying, like, your skill level has improved because you're actually a little more dedicated.
Okay.
So at that point, like, you almost consider, should I change gym? Right now, I just go to the casual gym simply because it's just accessible. Okay. I would like to go to the Gold's Gym, but it's so far away. I mean, I got to go to Venice and then drive to work. I go in the morning, so I get up. Typical day, I get up. Let's say around 7:30. You know, do that, my stuff with my dog, get around, feed her, and other stuff, and I'll head to the gym after I eat some little snack or something. I don't eat a whole lot before I go to the gym. So then I go to the gym, I stay there for maybe an hour and 30 minutes, drive back over home, take a shower, take care of my father, he lives with me, and then just go to work, man, and that's it. That's routine every morning.
And we actually skipped the step. Since you brought up work, why don't you tell the audience where exactly work is and what you do?
Oh, yeah. So I work in Santa Monica, very close to the airport in Santa Monica. I work for a company called Treyarch, which is Activision's umbrella corporation that hosts multiple studios, and Treyarch is one of them. Treyarch is mostly known for their titles of Call of Duty, particularly Black Ops series. I've been with this studio probably close to... I'm on my fourth year right now.
Oh, congrats.
So, thanks, dude. I joined them at the middle of Black Ops 2 as a senior environment artist. And I think after that shipped, I did all the DLCs. And in the middle of DLC 2 is when I got kind of like the proposal to, hey, dude, we want to promote you and to make you lead for the next project. So it was pretty exciting. I mean, knowing what you know about me, coming from Obsidian, and I was leader within Obsidian of a defunct title. So I refer to that as the schism. Yeah. When the schism happened, you know, a lot of people went and find new homes. Yeah. I was one of the ones that ended up in a nice home. So I'm pretty happy where I'm at. And working on the franchise is excellent. We just shipped,
DLC.
No, so DLC 2, which is the one that we just completed, should be out next Tuesday. So if you're a fan of Black Ops 3, next DLC, you can pick it up next Tuesday.
Well, with the power of podcast dates not being the day that we record and we release, that's actually today.
Oh, yes. Look at that. So today drops in. You can pick it up if you have a season pass.
If you can hear this right now, it is out. Go get it. Check it out.
Awesome.
Is there anything specific on that you worked on that you want to like highlight? Like, yeah, I did this. Or can you say that or no? It's okay if you can't.
You did everything.
Larry, well, I'm the lead. Everything you see has my signature on it.
Well, actually, I would call it my blessing. So, you know, the map packs usually have four maps for MP and one for zombies. And typically I'm in charge of make sure that all the stuff gets done in time. These days I don't do as much hours I used to do when I was Obsidian, but and mostly manage a nice team of talented guys. And then we have some external guys that we also manage. It's fun, dude. I love what I do. I think I have a talented crew. The studio, as a whole, was a bunch of talented people.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
It's awesome.
All right, so I got to ask, man. So you're promoted to lead. You work for a studio that, to most people who work in the industry that haven't worked there yet, know that is like kind of notorious for working very hard, I'll say. So you have lead responsibilities, you have a huge product, you have hours that are insane, and somehow you still meal prep and go to the gym. So what have you cut from your life that allows you to maintain this kind of schedule? Because I can't see it. I don't understand.
Well, silly as enough, I caught WoW. I used to play WoW left and right.
Okay.
Dude, I was like, when I was working at Obsidian, I was playing WoW left and right.
You were a rogue, right?
I was a rogue. I was a mage. Yeah. I had a grandmaster. I don't know if you remember when the...
Oh, I remember. I remember.
Grand Marshals, yeah. So I was one of the Grand Marshals on one of the servers.
Come on, man. You're a Grand Marshal?
Oh, yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I was number 15 on that server.
So I know... all right. So let me just take one moment. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Educate us.
For the people who don't play WoW, right? Like, he basically just said he was on the NBA All-Star team. That's essentially the amount of skill and time and effort it takes to get, like, Grand Marshal rank. There was only so many on each server for each side. And it's, like, the best at PvP for their side on their server for that season or whatever. Like, you're, like, the top... I forget what the percentage is, but to earn Grand Marshal, you had to be like top of the top of the top, basically.
Yeah, like, actually.
Do you remember? I'm sure you remember better than I do.
It's more of a lot of hours to spend on it. A lot of like knowing what to avoid, what to not to get into. It's just collecting points, man. So yeah. I got really into it, and I was so hooked. And all I did was go to work, play the stuff, and. That's not very conducive to fitness.
Yeah,
So I cut that. And after that, you know, I just been just focusing on work. I take care of my father as well. He's an elderly gentleman. Okay. He happens to live with me. And and spending time with the lady. And that's basically it, dude.
Not
much exciting happening.
So in order to maintain a great life of fitness and health, you had to cut video games.
I had to cut some video games.
Okay.
I still play my personal game, you know, the one that we develop.
Okay.
Black Ops, and I also play here and there, whatever somebody recommends, because I don't even have time to look at the stuff that is good. Somebody says, hey, check out The Division, or check out this, or check out the other thing, and I just end up picking it up for a couple hours, and I drop it, and that's that.
Dude, it's embarrassing. Like, nowadays, like, so I don't have the Activision hookup anymore, I'll just say, so I'm buying my Call of Duties now. And I just picked up The Division, and I was like, oh, this is great. A lot of my friends play. I played it for like an hour and a half, and I was like, $60 gone, you know? Like, I haven't picked it back up.
Really?
Yeah, I need to get back into it to feel like it was worth it. Not that it was a bad game. Time is just not there, man.
Yeah, dude.
It's just not there.
It happened to me with Fallout 4. I picked it up, and I started getting into this whole, like, pick this item, you know, the typical follow, right?
Yeah.
Like, drop this other item. And I'm just like, I don't have time to micromanage this other set of lifestyles, right?
Yeah.
So I just dropped that too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you kind of mentioned before you started getting into it very seriously by walking over and seeing Larry's desk of drugs. But were you somewhat... you know, staying relatively fit before this whole thing happened? Like, were you doing sports in high school? Were you somewhat active during your earlier years?
Yeah, I can't say that I ever belonged to a team of any sort, but I always play basketball. Basketball was my thing throughout college or high school. when I was pretty young, I did some skateboarding, like pretty much every kid did.
Okay.
I was pretty, I was from Puerto Rico, so some of the stuff that we used to do with kids is a little different than the U.S. But growing up, we would take this BMX that we used to have with no brakes, and we used to go to this dirt like mounds, like back in the field, and just roll ourselves from the top, and then we put a puddle of water, and we just slam into the water puddle with no brakes, and there's just mud everywhere.
Nice.
It's just, you know, typical kid. But I can never say that I was a type of kid that I just sit home and just ate bonbons and just watched TV. I never really did that. I basically went out in this stuff, actually. So
relatively active, but then
oh, yeah.
But then when you got in the industry, that's when you started getting serious. And
so I did a little bit of working out when I was, when I was 18 years old. I did a little working out in my home, just bought a couple set of weights and try to get something done with that. But again, no guidance, just everything was wrong. You know, you're typically trying to do that and you think you know what you're doing, but you really don't. And trying to get my friends involved, and there's completely jokes about it. They don't even know what they're doing. So it wasn't very serious. And then, you know, college came around, a lot of work, so not a little time to work out. And, I just took it serious when I get a little more of an adult. I became more involved with video games and stuff like that. Just as a developer, I saw necessity for it more than anything.
Yeah, like, I can definitely relate. Like, I stayed relatively active before the game industry, but it wasn't... I think at a certain point, I think in the combination of me having my first kid and everything, but at the same time, like being a game developer, you can easily fall in that trap. And just if you just ignore a couple of working out and just live that life, it's so easy to gain the pounds.
Yep. It happens to a lot of my friends, you know, they're like, I seen them left and right. They start working out and awesome. They got into the groove, right? And like a month or two after, they just start winding out. And it's like, oh, I'm just a little tired to get up in the morning. It's like, dude, you got to keep up. Because here's the thing, dude, there's that threshold where like your body just started to getting tired of the routine. And then you don't see results. And you constantly – one of the things that I told my friends is like never weigh yourself. And this might sound weird. I avoid myself and weigh myself for a long time when I was actually a little bit overweight because I just felt that if I see the numbers not climbing down or going down, I will start getting disappointed. So I stay away from that and only look at myself in the mirror. That's it. That was my gauge. And one day I started like measuring myself and taking the weights, I would make an improvement. And that's when I got really pumped. Mm-hmm. When the shit started happening, when you start noticing the improvement, that's when you really start getting more committed. And, you know, years after, dude, still got it.
Yeah, I mean... this is what I find out about game developers or gamers in general. When they finally get to the working out portion, I mean, we are built to gamify ourselves, like having that habit. But it's just like introducing the techniques and sticking with it, really. But like we have that behavior where we can see it if we think of it as like a game and we're an RPG character. I often see like game developers adapt the best when they really pull through because of that mindset.
That is a good angle. I never really thought of it that way, but you're right. It's our nature to be competitive. It's our nature to collect. It's our nature to modify. And all those are things that you do when you're at the gym. You know, you modify your body. You see an improvement. You want to add another piece to it. Obviously, you're talking about muscles, but it's the same deal, right? You're trying to improve. And you put challenges on the table for you. And every time you conquer another one, there's another one to be set, you know? So, yeah, absolutely. That's a good analogy.
Yeah. It's an important analogy because I would say – maybe it's not as bad as it used to be, but I would say a huge percentage would not take the gym seriously. And even though some of the bigger companies or even some of the mobile companies are moving towards standing desks, it's still not a big percentage to brag about. Mm-hmm. Like we still as a whole are sitting all the time. Yeah. And we eat the junkiest of food. And I'm sure we'll get into the crunch portion of this, but like the way we're set up, we're kind of doomed to fail in the fitness area. So when you see these things are happening in your own personal experience and other developers going through it, like what would you say would be the best advice to, you know, either start little by little or like what could I do to get the ball rolling?
Well, again, it depends on what the goal is, right? I got a couple guys that they just want to lose weight, and that's all they care about. And they ask me, "Oh, so what should I do to lose weight?" And so you're asking the wrong person, I would say, because I'm not really in this to lose weight. I'm in here just to throw weight around, right? That's what I do, just throw weight around. And I'm not counting macros. I'm not measuring this and measuring the other. I'm not looking at the magazine trying to replicate gym routines and this and the other guy did. It's not my jam, right? I don't do that. So when you ask me what I need to lose weight, well, the typical things, right? Not magic. There's no magic in this. you start losing, you start counting your calories to lose down. You don't have to get too dramatic about counting it, but just know what you're putting in your body, right? Mm-hmm. In exercise, right? You got to move. You can't sit around. That's just it's simple. It's so simple, but yet so hard to do. And what happens with most people is that they want a magic pill. They want everything to be solved super quick. And I don't have that answer. Honestly, one of my best results is when I'm not paying attention. I wake up one day, it's, whoa, look what just happened here, right? Because I haven't been paying attention. I just keep in a routine. But if there are other guys that want to bulk up, eat more, man. Just you got to eat this, you got to eat that. And that, I'm a little more of that type, right? Trying to get a little bigger and cut here when I can. And that's the thing. I'm not a runner. I don't do the running thing. I might get on a treadmill to maybe run for a couple miles, but mostly walking. I just want to get the cycles in to burn a little extra. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So I'm sure all these questions and all these new recruits, there's always one in the office. That's the thing that I've noticed, like that really fit guy that everyone goes to around January to ask advice. Yeah. And we kind of had that guy at Sledgehammer, shout out to Ron. But like every January of every year, everyone, he would be the first guy that goes like, hey, I want to get serious this time. Like, I want to get this going.
This time.
Yeah. And like we have an inside joke where like he's either the best or the worst personal trainer because people only last one day with him, and they never come back because he works them so hard.
Yeah, maybe
where they just wake up and they realize this is not, and they just avoid eye contact the whole time.
That's nice.
Well, I also got to say it's because Ron has these like weird ass workouts where he's like, all right, today we're gonna do chest. He's like, okay, cool. So we're gonna start with some squats.
Yeah. What?
We're gonna do some.
He tricks you, and you end up doing everything. Yeah. That guy does every machine in the gym. It's like, what? You don't have to use all of them, man.
Dude, I love nice. Working out with Ron, but yeah, I always was like, what the hell? Whatever. Every other exercise was something that wasn't like part of the group that you were working. But it works for him. He competes. He is, you know, incredible physique, especially for a game developer. So I didn't question. I was like, look, Larry, like, obviously he knows what the hell he's talking about. So just suffer through it.
Yeah, yeah. It's always good to have somebody like that around. I mean, I can't say that I have anybody around to motivate me. So it's got to be out of my pocket. Gotcha. You know, and like looking at the internet, looking at all the sources for motivation. But when it comes to like going to the gym and like deciding what sort of routine to do, I'm a type of person that tries to do the whole like splitting the body into like day by day. Mm-hmm. So I do my typical like back and, you know, traps and all that good stuff on a day. I go to the next day, it's going to be legs, all leg exercises, and maybe some abs on a day. Chest isolated. I do arms, everything arms. I spend, because I go every day except for Sundays, not for religious reasons, but I just don't want to go every day. I basically skip Sunday, but I try to separate all the muscle groups, so at least I'm hitting everything in a cycle.
Okay.
And I rinse and repeat the next day, and then that's how
so
I do
it. You usually go around lunchtime, or do you go more than once a day?
No, in the morning. I only go in the morning. I have a treadmill at home. I sometimes, depending on how early I come home and how much energy I have, I hop on the treadmill for 45 minutes before I hit the bed. But that's really if I'm trying to do something that week, then it's like, okay, I ate too many calories this week. Let me cut down a little bit. But typically, it's just in the morning. I spend my hour and 15 minutes, hour and 30 minutes at the gym, and then I head to work.
Nice.
All right, so I'm Joe Blow. I work at Game Studio, and I don't meal prep. I don't, you know, do anything specific about my diet. What would you say is the biggest rookie mistake of the game developer diet that we should just change? Like, is there one common thing that you see a lot of your game developer friends that just like, man, like, shouldn't do that when it comes to diet?
Okay, well, sodas, right? There's a lot of sodas in our studios. Like, that has to go. You can't even diet soda is terrible. I am guilty of the diet soda. I've been cutting down quite a bit. I'm actually, I think I'm one every 3 days or something.
Okay.
But sugary stuff, man. Sugar is just the enemy. No matter where you put it, I mean, cancer, all that stuff that, you know, cancer cells attached to sugar is terrible for you. Mm. So if you want to cut calories, you want to cut fat, sugar, start with sugar.
Okay.
That's something that your studio is going to have. Depending on how your studio is set up, there's always either you have to buy it or it's free, especially if it's free. it's even hard. Like snacks, stay away from that shit. Stay away from snack. All those little like Doritos and
oh, okay.
It's bad. I mean, I think you know what I'm talking about. If you got the munchies or whatever you want to call it, you're hungry. I guess you can grab one of those if you haven't eaten anything on the whole day. But I see guys that just making rounds in the kitchen, like every hour, just grabbing snacks. It's like, man, that's just so bad. But again, to each of his own. I'm not the type that tries to walk in somebody's life and tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I actually hate when people come at the gym and start telling me like, oh, you should try this other thing. Have you tried this other thing? And you know the guy's not even doing any of that stuff.
Like they can't wait to share what they just read.
But they're like telling you because they want to have, again, conversation. There's this one guy who, let's see, like the other day I was at the gym and this one guy, I see him and talking to everybody. That's all he does. I call him the social butterfly at the gym. He comes in, like hardly ever works out, but he talks a lot. And he approached me the other day, and he's like, hey, so you count macros and stuff? And I'm like, macros? What? Why would I count macros? It's, oh, because, you know, all the pros do that. Well, you know, sorry, man, I'm not a pro. I don't count macros. I just eat whatever I want. It's like, oh, and he, like, gave me this frown, like you got to be out of your mind, almost kind of, like, upset that I wasn't doing macros. And I was just like, well, whatever, man. But this, you know, it's whatever fits. I just don't like those type of guys and that just try to talk a lot in the gym, try to get you interested in what they're doing. But they're just looking at magazines, man. Mm-hmm. One thing you can do is if you're starting with exercises, just those magazines. That's for people who already have done everything else and they don't know what else exercise to come up with. Gotcha. So you see these guys upside down, you know, their heads doing headstands with split legs in the middle of the
air. Oh, man.
You know, crazy stuff, right?
Yeah. And we got to go around the table with, like, gym stories. That well, like, I mean, there's that one CrossFit guy who uses every machine in, like, once. Right, yep. And gets upset when you walk in to do one set because he was gone for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, I'm still using. You're using every machine, man.
Yeah.
It's not your personal gym.
Well, he's telling you he's using the machine from the other machine. He's like, hey, hold on a second, man. I still got two sets over there.
Man, I think somebody made a video online about this a while back. But they call them hunters and gatherers. They just take all the weight and they surround themselves. They surround themselves with all the dumbbells, and then they step out to get a little bit of water, and they put their
their lanyard or something,
get their hat or whatever they got going on. Oh, look, I have my hat in there. So, dude, but you haven't been around for like past half an hour.
So your sweat towel is mighty dry, sir.
Yeah, that happens. I think that happens in every gym, dude. Yeah. That's typical.
And it's always like the most unfit guy. I have to say, like. There's some, right, that they're known, they're muscle confusing everything, but most of those guys that jump around or doing those weird exercises that, like, he's doing one hand arm stands or something that you never heard about that's uncommon. He's just doing everything that he can to, like, get a bicep curl. It's like, dude, just do a bicep curl.
Yeah, man. I think the best thing you can do is just stick to the staple, like the compound movements, the stuff that is proven to work. All these other little variations, that's for guys who want to do a little bit of changing it up a little bit because they have hit everything and they're well fitted, so they want to try something new. But
yeah, that top 1%, you know, like an extra centimeter means something, right? Like Kai Greene would kill for like an extra centimeter of bicep. You know what I mean? But, like, if you compare his bicep to, like, an average person, come on, of course. You know what I mean?
Dude, his freaking legs, man.
Oh, my God.
The guy has the sickest legs. that's the thing. It's like, I think that's one of the biggest mistakes that people do. They just go to the gym with this expectation that everything that they see in a magazine, they can replicate. It's going to get all ripped. But they just don't even know what they're doing, honestly.
Well, let's say if I'm a beginner to this whole world, right? So the first thing is, like, what's the easiest way to eat right? Like, give me one day full of, like, what I should just – an easy prep meal that I can stick to and repeat without any knowledge of this stuff. Like, what would you say?
Well, it depends if you're vegan, vegetarian, or you're carnivore like me. But anyway, I typically liked I have to have my steak. I'm a fan of steak. I try to minimize my steak a little bit throughout the week. I would say I eat like three steak meals and maybe two chicken with one fish. I shoot up in the fish department a little bit, but I try to do that cycle them a little bit. I got my typical broccoli and cauliflower here and there. I have my my lady likes to make quinoa, so she throws that stuff in there sometimes for the extra carbs. But yeah, I keep it simple with that stuff. I don't get too complex. I don't measure it either, which I should be doing. I just eyeball it. I was like, okay, that's like a nice chunk of meat, and I just eat it. And then again, if I'm hungry again, I eat up two chunks. I don't count anything, man. That's the thing that I could be better at it. But again, I don't want to make this thing a chore. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make fitness a thing that I have to completely keep track of and take notes. And I just don't want to make it that. It's not a job. It's fun. I want to keep it fun. And the second I start taking track of what I did here and what I did there, it's just going to become another chore. I don't want that.
Yeah. And I'm sure, like, from your experience, like, you kind of have a good idea of what is how much and everything like that. So
yeah, exactly. Like I say, when I eyeball it, I kind of get an idea of what I need. And sometimes I'm wrong. Sometimes the chunk of meat that I put in the steak and I put on the grill shrinks quite a bit. It's like, wait a minute, I need to put three or more of the things in there to make up for the difference. But yeah, typically I know what I need to put in.
Okay. So what if we're not like a Call of Duty developer that can afford steak every other day? What would be a good substitute for protein?
Well, again, when I was in college, I did a lot of tuna, although you got to watch out with the mercury stuff going on with that stuff.
Yeah.
But I did a lot of tuna, you know, a lot of grains like beans and anything grain that gives you protein, especially if you're a vegetarian. You know, you want to stay away from all that stuff and just eat any protein you can get from peas and anything grains. Instead of keeping it cheap, man, I think you can go to Costco and get the typical like bag of this, bag of that, and you can keep it fairly cheap if you cook it at home. Yeah. If you start going out and you don't have money for the good stuff, you're gonna end up buying the bad stuff.
Yeah,
and that's how you get into trouble.
Yeah, Costco has those ready-made bag of chicken and hard-boiled eggs in a bag that you can just go ahead and buy.
Yeah, you can do that. I like more of the raw chicken, so I can put what I want on it. Some of the stuff gets a little boring when someone's the same kind of like spices or whatever on it, so I kind of buy it just with nothing on it. I put whatever I want in it.
All right.
You may not be, you know, like a chef or anything, but I just came up with this little idea for a game, and let's just see how it goes. Mr. Nelson Pulumi, I'm going to ask you three common things that people probably enjoy, and let's see if you have a more healthier substitute that may be okay for like flavor or taste, okay? You want to play?
Okay. Sure.
All right, cool.
Try.
The first one, mayonnaise. I love sandwiches, and I love getting my sandwiches with mayo, but I know mayo is like, that's just like, you may as well just slab it right on top of your belly, because that's exactly where it's going. So what can I do as a developer, or just as a person, how can I replace mayonnaise with something that is like similar, a smear, but it's way better for me? Do you have a good one?
Yeah, so there's two things that I use. You can use yogurt.
Okay.
Yogurt is actually really good. You can take yogurt and put it there and maybe throw a little ranch on the yogurt so it actually tastes a little different. They also sell a product which I actually buy. It's called Veginase. It's basically to take olive oil, and they spin it so fast that it creates kind of like a cream, grapeseed oil, and that's what I put in the bread, and if I want mayo.
Okay.
So I don't use regular mayo.
Okay. All right. Round one, you pass. Brandon, do you have one for round two?
For food-wise?
Yeah, so like, you know.
While he thinks. Mayo also, they're making it with eggs, so not a lot of people can eat eggs. So if you want to stay away from that sort of thing, like for example, my lady's allergic to eggs, so that's how I got to do the Veginase thing, because she's like, okay, it has no eggs. So anyway,
okay, I'll jump in while Brandon's thinking.
Well, I mean, I got one.
Okay, go ahead.
Like baked goods, like I like snacking. So instead of carrots all the time, like what's a healthy snack that I, you know, most game companies have, but that I want to avoid, and I want to.
It depends. So most people like doing the kale. They take kale and they cut it into little chunks and they put it in the oven with garlic and salt. It's a good snack. You can get the dry peas. I mean, this might sound boring to some people, but when you're just focusing on making a video game, or you're in the computer and you have this little salty, little crunchy thing by you, you don't even pay attention. It's tasty. It does the trick. In terms of baked goods, man, you can't avoid bread. I mean, bread is going to be there, right? So,
yeah.
All right, I got one for you. So you said it yourself, Nelson. Soda. Soda has got to go. But a lot of people, you know, just don't like flat water, right? Like, oh, water has no taste. It doesn't satisfy. You know, what would you say is a good way to replace a drink that gives you satisfaction with something that's also healthy? Do you have a good idea there?
So I've been trying, because I had the same problem. Like I said, I cut down, but I'm still kind of dependent on the diet. So what I've been doing, there's this carbonated flavor water, which I think it's called De La Croix or De La Croix or something like that. So basically, it's just carbonation. You know, it has the fizz, and it has a little flavor on that stuff in it. And I usually take that, and I take a little bit of iced tea, and I mix the two, and I get like a lemonade thing going on, and it's not even sugar.
Gotcha.
So it gives it the lemon taste, but it has the fizz of the soda, and I'm cutting the sugar, and I mean, I'm still putting carbonation in my body, which is not going to do a big of a deal on your system, but at least not proven. So that's what I do to replace the soda.
Okay, sweet. Well, that works for me.
I also got a tip.
Bonus round.
Let's hear it.
Well, to add on to that, if you want to replace water, I do a lot of lemon water. And that helps with your fighting bacteria. At the same time, it kind of quenches your hunger in a way. And a lot of people do this fasting with it too. And if you want to add a little more flavor, cucumber.
Yeah.
Like Larry's seen my concoction once in a while.
It's like a little piece of mint in it.
I joke around saying it's slowly becoming a salad, but it works. Like I just sip on it and it just satisfies a little bit more than it's a little more satisfying than just water.
So. You know, when I saw people putting because again, I'm from Puerto Rico, so not the healthiest of foods. Tasty food, but not the healthiest. Mm-hmm. When I moved to the States, everybody was drinking tea. And we don't typically do that at home, right? In Puerto Rico, it's just like you get to cafecito with milk, you know, that's the stuff you drink. But I saw a lot of people drinking tea. I tried it. I hate it. I didn't like tea. Oh, you put some sugar in it. It's going to be good. No, man, I do not like it a bit. But one thing that struck me is that people were putting like sliced lemon on everything. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, that's interesting. And I could be totally wrong. But thinking, you know, they make this soap with the lemon in it, right? Because it cuts grease. So is that really what's happening when I'm drinking lemon? Am I cutting grease? Again, I don't know if that's what's happening in your stomach. I'm not no scientist, no doctor, but I'm like, there's some correlation with probably what lemon is doing inside your intestines that it could be useful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it fights cancer. It's like it's a great substitute for anything that is sugar.
You've done your research, I see.
Well, I've been drinking a lot, and I've seen the effect. Like, I drink it throughout the day, so like it keeps me a little sharper. I'm on my toes, and I don't get so hungry where I'm snacking all the time, so it helps on a couple of things. But one other type of food that might be interesting as a substitute. So you're mentioning like kale chips, basically, right? Which they do sell at Costco, I believe. But yeah. I'm not sure how healthy they are, if they're really salted or not.
They're usually full of like this – I hate they put some sort of cheese coating on it. I just don't like how it tastes. I tried it on the Trader Joe once, and I just didn't care for it.
Right.
So,
what other food that usually people drink here? Soda is definitely a killer. There's the snack part, and then food wise, you said prep meals. Like, if I'm too lazy to prep a meal, like, would you recommend any type of restaurant that even if I do eat there? Or just spend $5 to $10, I am pretty on track to staying healthy.
Yeah, unfortunately, any of the chains are going to be trouble unless you stick to their boring salads, really. Even if you go to McDonald's or something, they have those wraps. Man, that meat is questionable at best. Like, I don't know if you try those wraps, that meat is just, when you eat on that thing, it just feels like they just packed it into a mold. So anyway, I stay away from that stuff. Again, I'm not the healthiest of all beings when it comes to food. I like to put food in my body that I know that at least it's going to quench the hunger, and I'm just going to be ready for the next one. I live close to Culver City, And there's a couple of restaurants around. Culver City is in LA, by the way, so somebody who's not listening from the area. So there's a couple of Brazilian restaurants, and they have a lot of like picanha and all this type of meats. And I just go there, dude. And it's not that expensive, really. When you put it, it costs you like maybe $10 to get a nice meal. And it's good stuff that you actually pick, select yourself. It's not something that people are just dropping in your plate. You don't even know what's being put in there. So,
nice.
So yeah.
How do you feel?
I'm gonna play the same game again, but I'm gonna switch the topic. So if Brandon, you have another question, you should jump in.
Well, how do you feel about Chipotle?
Oh, actually, no, that's a good Chipotle's actually pretty good. That's not bad. That's actually I totally forgot our Chipotle. Yeah, Chipotle's good, especially when you trick them. I had this theory, and I actually put it to a test quote a couple times. What I do is like I ask for something. And then as the lady started putting the stuff in your plate, you're like, oh, wait, that's not what I wanted. And she goes like, well, what? No, I wanted the other thing. And she starts scraping the stuff. And then like, but she doesn't do a good job of scraping it entirely. So I end up with more meat at the end. Because you got to do that. And you trick them. And eventually you end up with this bowl that's just pouring out because they're lazy. They don't want to like start moving stuff. So
I'll add your trick to my trick as well. My trick is doing half and half. So you can do half and half on rice.
And meat.
You'll end up with double. Yeah, and do half and half on meat, half and half on beans, and half on pretty much anything else. Oh, Larry's shaking his head. He's going to use it. But you end up with this massive burrito.
I'm just laughing at you guys.
And by default, right, they're wrapping it up. It's going to break. It's always going to break. And they're like, oh, we're going to have to give you another tortilla. So you end up with pretty much two burritos.
So silly.
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome.
I will have to try that then. I never thought of that aspect of it, but yeah. It's very easy to trick those guys again because they want to go home and they don't care. They just want to, give you what you ask for.
Yeah.
But yeah, I have a question for you guys. So at night, what's your typical prepping for night meal if you do anything before you go to bed type thing? Because, they say sleep is key to build those muscles when you break them up. So Larry, for example, what do you do?
So my night meal is a protein shake. I always go to the gym from about 12 o'clock to 1 a.m. and then I have a protein shake before bed. So I wake up in the morning, there's a little cafe underneath our work, and I go down there and I get a milk and a banana for breakfast. So I actually don't meal prep. I have places that I go to get the meal that I want to eat. But my morning meal is always a banana and a milk, and my last calories of the day is always a protein shake.
Is that a casein or that's just regular whey?
Casein for the nighttime and whey protein for lunch.
Awesome.
Yeah. Slow release protein before I go to bed.
Exactly. Mine is standard. I do spinach, I do chicken, and then for my carbs, I either do rice or beans. So those are usually my main. But like at nighttime, I get cravings, and I have been going to just Greek yogurt, non-fat, and that's been like it's really low in calories. It's pretty good on protein, and it just satisfied my dessert needs. So I either do that or protein shake before or after my last workout.
Yeah. So. Well, before I go to bed, I typically either do my protein shake, or I take cottage cheese and put some fruit in it. Because cottage cheese, again, is basically like casein, but with more moist. It's really slow release. It's gonna stay longer in your body to digest. So you're gonna be asleep for 8 hours, tops, I guess. And so your body needs to be fed while you're sleeping. So therefore, if you have something that can support it for that length of time, that's good. One thing that I've been doing, and I really recommend this to anyone who has a hard time with sleep or anything like that. I've been taking GABA. I don't know if you guys are familiar with GABA.
GABA is
pretty awesome relaxation. It just knocks me out. And it's not really that it puts you to sleep. Mm-hmm. It just it allows you to go into this kind of more relaxed type of vibe. That when you go to sleep, you're more relaxed. So therefore, you can actually sleep a little deeper. Mm-hmm. So you hit your REM sleep faster because you're on GABA. Wow. Some people do CMA. I do CMA too. The problem with CMA that I have is that you cannot take it with any dairy. And if I'm going to be doing cottage cheese or am I going to be doing a protein shake and I put my CMA, I'm not getting any results from it because it negates what the results from the CMA is. So you're not supposed to take it with any calcium. So that's the problem with that.
To add on to that, if you want a good night's sleep and let your body feed during the night, because that's the thing that people forget or don't even know about. Like, your body gets hungry during the night, and that creates cravings and other problems. I used to do, and I should probably start again, like a spoonful of almond butter. And it knocks you out, and you feel pretty good by the time you wake up.
Because it actually knocks you out?
It knocks you out, like cold. Oh. It's like a Tim Ferriss trick. But yeah, you do that 1 hour before you sleep, and you get like a pretty good night's sleep. Like,
so I take my almond butter and I mix it with some agave on top of cottage.
You'll never wake up. Well, that's the thing. Like, we're kind of leading into a very important topic here. Like, the lack of sleep, I would say, is the number one health issue with game developers. We're night owls, first of all, and on top of that, if we don't work out, it's pretty bad. And so, like, most game developers, myself included, I don't sleep past until like 1 a.m. in the morning, and usually we have work again at 8 or 9 or 10 or whatever. Besides those little tricks, I mean, do you have any advice for those night owl guys?
Man, it's rough. You're describing it right. I'm still doing with that. I mean, going to college, to art school, I mean, staying up all night doing illustrations and this and the other, those habits are still with me. Sometimes I go on the computer and I know I'm really tired and I know I'm sleepy, but I still can't go to bed for whatever reason. So I look at the monitor, I'm here clicking, and all of a sudden I wake up and it's like, oh, I've been sleeping over here in this fucking chair for at least like an hour and 30 minutes, right? It's just habits, just bad habits. But essentially, if you want to do some recovery, the stuff that is actually going to get you to grow, you got to get some sleep, man. And I'm guilty of it. That's why I try to do these other things to get me to have better sleep for the hours that I put in. Yeah, absolutely. Sleep is essential.
Do you have wake-up medicines if you, can't avoid sleeping?
Nah.
You don't have anything that wakes you up in the morning if you have to, besides coffee? Any healthy tricks?
No, I mean, I have my caffeine in the morning, whether it's true coffee or coconut water or anything like it, get a little caffeine in there. But yeah, nothing, not like medicine.
All right, I got to jump in. We're going to play that same game where we name three things to get your opinion real quick, but we're going to switch up the topic. This time it's going to be debunking commonly believed things, either yay or nay, in support of or calling it just straight up bullshit. Okay.
All right. We'll see how well we do.
Say what?
See how well we do this.
Yeah. So, like, beliefs of, like, lifting or dieting in the game industry. Okay. Here's one that I've heard like all throughout my life, and I'm not gonna say my opinion on it because I know people have actually said this nonsense. Ah, damn. Anyway. It's okay if I eat and get all this fat because I'm just gonna convert the fat to muscle.
Right. All right, we got his answer.
All right, you got a new one? Well, I mean, straight up bullshit, man. There's nothing about that. Who you heard this from? Actually, people at the studios?
Man, come on.
Some people actually believe that, this I'm just making this fat into muscles.
Yeah. Nope. Negative.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Like, see, fat is made up of this cellular structure, and muscle is made up of a more dense, solid tissue that's not even the same. But somehow your body is just going to magically convert. You can burn fat to help yourself build muscle, but you cannot convert the one substance to the other.
Yeah. And another thing that I keep hearing sometimes is that people is like, oh, but I sweat so much. I burn so much fat. Sweat is very different than fat. Mm-hmm. Even though it's associated with losing weight, mm-hmm. the more sweat you put out, that means more salt, more water, doesn't mm-hmm. necessarily mean fat.
Yeah.
So people have this misconception that because they're sweating a lot, that they're actually burning that fat.
Yeah, it's just water weight, yeah.
Exactly.
That's what the fighters do before they weigh in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're sitting in the sauna room just sweating it out.
That's why when you go to the gym and you work hard and you sweat, you're like, yes, I lost 4 pounds. And then you wake up the next morning, you're like, holy shit, I gained 2 pounds.
Yeah. I mean, there's no shortcut. You just got to eat healthy. And I think a lot of the problems that Larry's bringing up is that people think bulking up means eating a lot. Mm-hmm. And then you converting then and working out makes bigger muscles. But if you eat right and you lift heavier weights, this kind of leads into the second myth. People who think that What's your opinion with low weights, more repetition versus bigger weights and more control rep?
Well, again, I heard all kinds of different things for this. I am more of a heavier lift. I can try for strength more than anything. So I lift to try to get stronger and stronger and all that. If the people that like to have their bodies cut, like very well trimmed and stuff like that, try a little lower weight, a little more repetitions. And I've seen people have really good results with that sort of thing. I am more, again, like heavyweight, do strength training and that stuff. And sometimes my exercises are so intense in terms of like the weight that it actually takes care of some of the cardio that I didn't get that day in because I'm actually burning and putting the muscle to so much stress that I'm actually burning some of that calories that I otherwise would have got on a treadmill and do it. But no excuse for no cardio. We still have to get the cardio in there. It's just that I'm bored with cardio. I'm not a fan of running, like I said. It's just anything that I can do to replace cardio that I can burn calories with, I'll try to do.
Yeah, I think that's 99% of people in the world, let alone the game industry.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, third myth. I can just take all these supplements and the muscle is just going to grow even if I don't go hard in the gym. And I'm not talking steroids. I'm not talking steroids.
Yeah, that's very different, right?
Okay. Yeah, I needed to clarify.
Yeah. No, that's not how it works.
Damn.
So the reason they're called supplements is because it's the supplement something you're already doing. I mean, they're not replacers. Yeah. Otherwise, they're called replacers, right?
Yeah.
So they're actually supplements. They're supplementing your workout, supplementing your good diet. They're supplementing the tweaks that you're trying to do to your body. So if somebody wants to start taking, let's say, whey protein because they can't get enough calories throughout meals because A, they don't have the time to sit down and eat it, or B, they don't know how to cook, or they don't know where to get it. Mm. So protein is a good like supplement because you can get your calories count for the day if you try to get bigger and so on and so forth. Other supplements, like I just mentioned, like just to get good sleep, all that stuff is helpful. It just adds to your already good condition, your already good habits.
Yeah, supplements means in addition to, right? So like, that means you do have to go to the gym, you do have to work and eat right, but in addition to those things, you can supplement that with your supplements.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
You still got to be in the gym earning the need for your body to rebuild muscle and to take those calories and proteins and amino acids and turn them into muscle.
Absolutely. And you don't have to stick to the whole gym. I mean, I go to the gym just because I can go and cycle around and have all the equipment that I need. There's people that just do the typical outside work. I mean, they lift the logs, they turn tires, whatever that you need to do. You know, you don't have to actually be at the gym to be fitted.
Stress your body.
Exactly.
So before we move on to the next one, like, are there top three supplements that you guys recommend?
I'll let Nelson go first.
You go first. Okay. So whey protein, simply because to get your meals in there is tough, and it's just a good, quick way to get all your calories for counts for the day. So that's, to me, that's number one. Creatine. I'm a fan of creatine. I take 5 grams of creatine every day. I try to split it up to 2.5 in the morning and 2.5 before workout. Drink lots of water. Obviously, you have to have water, and your muscles are essentially a big balloon of water. So if you don't have water to go into your muscles, you're going to be feeling weak when you're trying to do your routine. So to me, those are essential. Some people are vitamins. I mean, if you're not eating all the stuff that you need, you have to supplement with vitamins. I have my own. I think it's called Beta Core, and I'm trying to sponsor anybody. But I love that stuff. It's all natural. I try to stay away from stuff that has additives. I've been buying some supplements that are pure, essentially, creatine without any of the additives, because then you get half of the creatine otherwise.
Yeah.
So I've been doing that, been researching. There's a good website, you guys want to check it out. It's called Labdoor. I don't know if you guys are familiar with it. It's owned by, I think the guy who put it together is one of the dudes from Shark Tank, Mark Cuban, or what's his name? Anyway,
Mark Cuban.
Mark Cuban, no.
Yeah, so he started this website that basically rates all these, proteins and supplements, and it actually goes lab testing and gives you percentages on which ones are more pure, which ones are better. And I go over there and I check my stuff, and actually, funny enough, some of the stuff that I was using was already on the top of their list, and that was just me because I was trying it. It was actually working. So if you guys want to check a good website for that, labdoor.com, it's good. Again, not sponsoring anybody, but it's something that I use.
Yeah. My creatine is A-. I need to get a better creatine.
All right, there you go. See? So, I mean, it has recommendations. You can just buy them from them, or you can buy it straight from the house that sells them, Amazon Prime. Gets my stuff. Man, I'm loving Amazon Prime for my stuff, dude. Like the other day, I take this protein called Muscle Feast. Mm-hmm. It's kind of obscure, but it's all like no sugar. No, it's all good stuff, right? So I was running out. I was like, fuck. And I was like, I used to order stuff from bodybuilder.com, but I stopped that train because, again, I can get the same deal and faster through Amazon Prime. So I've been ordering. I ordered it like a night ago, and in the morning showed up, dude, like the next day. I was like, this is awesome. I don't have to worry about running away to go to this place, go to that place, and running out very quickly. I just order it overnight, and then here's my protein, here's my supplements, all ready to go.
Yeah, and soon they're going to have drones delivering it to you. Make it even easier.
You guys saw that Canon, they shoot out like freaking nets and capture the drones?
Yeah.
Yep.
There go your PlayStation 6s around Christmas time.
You're right.
Oh, man. But yeah, Amazon is ruining business for like all these companies because I haven't been to a mall in I don't know how long because of 2-day shipping on Amazon Prime.
Yes. Love it.
Yeah. All right. So I guess my stack is very similar and it's just pretty simple. My goals for lifting is just I want to stay in shape and I want to not be fat. And no disrespect to anyone who is like would align themselves with the word fat or hefty or overweight, whatever you consider your body type. I just have a lot of health issues in my family and I know that my genetic taste preferences, if I just let that go unchecked, I will be Sherman Klump in about 4 hours. You know what I mean? So I'm in the gym trying to look like Buddy Love and not Sherman Klump. So I take creatine, I take protein, and then glutamine for, you know, recovery at the end. So that's – and then obviously my vitamins as well. So that's my stack.
Yeah.
What about you, Brandon? Do you have anything?
Coconut oil, coconut water, fish oil.
I used to drink a lot of coconut water.
Yeah.
Protein, of course, fish oil. But I keep it pretty simple as far as that goes, and it's been working out.
I should say fish oil. Yes, I forgot that one. I have my pills too for fish oil.
Yeah, but like what people don't realize is like you can get most of your vitamins if you eat correctly.
Yeah.
Like people can go overboard with the vitamin C's and A's and D's. It's like, yo, don't you eat anything ever?
Yeah. I mean, again, I typically have those because I know that throughout the day, I'm not going to have all the types of the foods that I would normally get if I'm actually paying attention. Mm-hmm. So I make sure that I take my vitamins in the event that I'm missing something.
Mm. Oh, so we actually have a question from a Twitch audience. He's asking if there's any workout types. So like, let's say the top three exercises, right? I'm new to the gym. I don't know what to do. I want to get my cardio. I got my strength workout all in one take without being so intimidated by the whole process. What would you guys recommend?
I mean, honestly, this is why CrossFit is becoming so popular. It's because they offer pretty much all. Yes, there's that.
Be that guy jumping on every machine and then leave.
Right. But that's the reason why it's so popular is because it kind of gets you an overall workout, right? You're getting aerobics in there. You're getting weightlifting. You're getting speed. It's everything you possibly would need to lose weight. For me, because I was telling you guys, I'm the type of guy that just throws weights around just to try to get muscle and try to get strength. I don't have anything like that. Again, I'm allergic to cardio, but I try to get my cardio as much as I can. But for a new person coming in, if you're trying to like get a well-rounded exercise, I'll say stay with compound movements, right? Stuff that heavy, use your squats, you do your military press, just stuff that's going to hit all your big muscles globally. And, you know, do some cardio here and there by just either increasing your weight or hit the bike, hit the treadmill here and there. You don't have to run. You can just walk. Just keep active. You can see your heartbeat rising up, and that's going to help you.
Yeah, just getting your heart rate up. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, I'm a runner. I think the biggest problem that game developers face is that they feel like they're always running out of time. No pun intended. Like, they feel, they work 8 hours a day. They get home at 8 p.m.
Wait, you say 8 hours?
Normal developers, non-Call of Duty developers, they work 8 hours. But the idea is that, you know, they feel like with their free time, they want to do something fun. And, like, you know, unlike us, workout isn't fun for most people. It's a chore. And I feel like a lot of that problem can be rectified if you make it part of your commute in some capacity. I'm sure you guys know or have met colleagues that rode their bike to work. I used to run to work, which helped a lot. But, of course, a lot of people travel way farther than that in most cases. But, like, if they make it as part of, like, a commute or a thing, or even just carrying a jump rope around, these are things that could be definitely helpful.
Yeah, at our studio, they some people have avoided taking the car. They actually take the bike because it's an incentive for not parking your car in our parking. Right. I think they take off like $100 every month from your, so that you actually earn that money back into your paycheck.
Oh, wow.
For just driving your bike. So it's an incentive to some people. They have included, one of the things that our studio is doing for us, they have included the Fitbits as free. So, and then it's an incentive through GIF. So, you know, it's a challenge because people are just like, oh, wait, you're working out. I didn't notice that you didn't have enough steps for that day. And it just becomes like, again, another video game type tactic.
Yeah.
Challenges, right? So then motivates people to, you know, put things for other people to do. Like, and also, it happens too with food. One of my buddies at work the other day went to this food truck called Celebabun near work, and he ordered a triple meat avocado burger. And he said, okay, dude, you got to try this stuff. It's bulking food. And then he posted it on Twitter. Food. Yeah, he put it on Twitter. And I'm like, all right, I'm just going to do it because you dare me. So I go to the truck, and the truck is freaking closed. So I just wrote a strongly worded letter to the truck guy, and they replied back. It's like, oh, it's just because this guy is better at eating than you. It's like, what? I'm going to eat a four patty next time. So I'm about to do that next time I see those guys.
Oh, man.
But yeah, I think it's pretty straightforward, guys. You guys know it. People try to find a magic wand to get all this stuff, fitness stuff figured out. But essentially, it's just get going. Start small. Start like little by little. Don't get disappointed because you're not going to see the results right away. Just completely focus on trying to get move and try to get going. Mm-hmm. That's it. I mean, if you get that going, the rest will become little by little, but it will happen.
Yeah. I also have one more question from Twitch. He's describing, like, do you have any tips for a chubby 14-year-old starting out who's never worked out before?
Well, chubby 14-year-olds that haven't worked out. It depends what 14-year-olds, chubbies, are doing right now. If you want to work out, that's a good step. But, I mean, you also have to make sure that you're not, like, spending a lot of time eating stuff that you shouldn't be eating. Mm-hmm. And by that means, you know, I remember when I was younger, I was eating, again, soda's terrible. Mm-hmm. Any of that junk food, any of that fast food, any Hot Pockets, any of that stuff is really quick when you're playing a video game and you're, like, watching movies that you can throw in the microwave. You got to stay away from that stuff because, unfortunately, if you're not going to the gym or you're not actually exercising, that stuff is going to pile up. And yes, it's a vicious cycle. You're never going to get out of it, unfortunately, unless you do something about it.
Yeah, but just avoiding snacks. Stay away from junk food.
I'll say this on behalf of someone who was a chubby 14-year-old before.
Oh, Larry, are you typing it to me?
here's one thing to keep in mind. At 14 years old, you're approaching physical maturity, but you're nowhere near, like, your peak, right? Like, you're going into those developmental years where you're going to start growing more, and your bones and your muscles are going to start expanding. Your metabolism will speed up slightly, and you don't want to mess that up, right? Like, you don't want to, like, hurt your body or injure yourself before you go into those years. So don't think that your lifting at this age has to be, like, super serious. You know what I mean? Yeah. Go and learn the basics. You know, just get good at the movements, and you don't try to put on Arnold Schwarzenegger type weight at 14. Wait till you're about 17, 18 to really start taking it a little more serious. I think right now, as a 14-year-old, just get a lot of exercise. Make sure that you learn about cardio, learn about dieting, and learn the good compound movements and the basics, and just get your fundamentals down. Because when you hit about 17, 18, and your body's like, okay, puberty's done, here's your man body for the rest of your life, then like attack it and like start packing on the pounds and, you know, get your body either like super buff or, you know, super slim or whatever you want. But at least allow yourself to go through that transition before you get too serious, because you're going to be going through a lot of changes as is before you even add on the stress of like weightlifting and things like that. So that's just my suggestion.
Yeah, I think a good trend also would be just getting a standing desk. Or stand as much as possible. Avoid sitting at all costs. Like, if you're playing games, just by switching to standing, you're already doing something about it. Yeah, just stay away from the snacks. He's also asking about what's the best way to cool down. I mean, before going that, Nelson, were you going to add something to it?
No, no. I was just actually trying to log to you guys his Twitch account over here. Sorry.
Sorry. It's like a minute behind.
Yeah.
The best way to cool down, just relax.
Just walk around.
Yeah. You want to keep your heart rate up a little bit. So you want to be active, but not necessarily like at full rest. Like, you don't want to just sit, because there's actually, I don't want to go on a whole new tangent, but I will say, like, you know, when people run marathons or half marathons, they always make sure that even after they've ran 26.2 miles, they still go like an extra mile at like a decent like walking pace, because you don't want your body to just like go to a rest rate, because some people have actually died from doing that, where they'll like run the 26 miles and then they'll just stop. Like, they don't walk it down. They don't like gradually transition out of their exercise, and then they just have some sort of cardiac arrest or something. I've read like, I think, two stories in my lifetime of people dying from like not transitioning out of an exercise.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, every treadmill is like, oh, take 2 minutes to cool down.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway, we are an hour into the podcast. Mr. Nelson Plumy, I want to thank you so very much for being a part of this. And you've won a prize, actually. We didn't tell you this ahead of time, but you won a prize. Would you like to know what it is?
Sure.
Okay. Larry, why are you reaching down your pants?
No. I need to get the script, obviously.
Oh, all right.
So at the end of our podcast, Nelson, we always give our guests some time to just promote, plug, or talk about anything that they're excited about, involved in, or want to draw some attention to as a thank you for being on the podcast. So our Twitch audience and podcast audience is all yours. So if you have anything that you'd like to promote, shout out, plug, or even just say, hey, thank you, Mama, for believing in me, the floor is yours.
All right, guys. I have this book out called Game Dev Unchanged. Go ahead and buy it. It's awesome. I got this imposter guy over here who claims that he wrote this book. Anyway, I'm kidding. That's Larry's book. You should check it out. For me, though, you can just guys find me on social media on Twitter. I'm on Twitter as Tickle Matter. That is Tickle Matter instead of Fecal Matter, right? So you can find me on Twitter like that. I'm typically on Instagram and all this stuff. I had nothing really else to plug other than like my game. Check out Black Ops 3. Mm-hmm. If you haven't played it. What? Check that out. DLC coming out today. Right?
Yes, it's out. If you can hear this, except for Twitch, it's out today.
Exactly. It's out today. Otherwise, on the 19th. But anyway, it's going to be awesome. You guys should play it. It's going to be awesome. And we got more crazy and awesome stuff coming our way. I'm just currently working on it, so I'm excited.
Dude, thank you so much, Nelson. I've learned a lot. I'm actually going to go to the gym right now and start practicing some of this stuff. So since I got the mic and I'm talking, Larry Charles, I'm out.
Hey, this is Brandon Fallon. See you guys next week. I'm out.
Take care. Peace.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you want to stay in touch or continue to follow our developments, then you need to go to facebook.com/gamedevunchained and drop a like and stay in touch. You can also get the direct feed for this podcast on soundcloud.com/gamedevunchained.